This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala ibadihi alladhina astafa wa ba'd. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and all his companions and every single one of us and our offspring to come up to the day of Qiyamah. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, dearest listeners, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us yet another opportunity of the blessed month of the year, the month of Ramadan, in which there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are accepted in the month of Ramadan. Ameen. We ask Allah to forgive us from amongst those who are forgiven in the month of Ramadan. Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us every form of goodness. Indeed, it is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are concerned of their spirituality will be able to feel the spirituality of this month and will be able to achieve upliftment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shaitan. This evening I have decided to go through the sequence of the verses of the Quran. We have Surah Al-Fatiha, that we all know of by heart, the most powerful surah in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it Ummul Quran, which is the mother of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it As-Sab'ul Mathani, those seven verses that are repeated so often. So by naming it Ummul Quran, in the Arabic language, when one says the mother of something, they mean it is the most important of that particular group or category. So the Quran, all the verses in the Quran, these are the most powerful. They are repeated so many times, and we ought to know that every time we utter the words of Surah Al-Fatiha, there is a response by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the first hadith I am commencing with, and I have commenced with in the past as well, is the hadith reported in Sahih Muslim, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. I have indeed divided Surah Al-Fatiha. Imagine the name of Surah Al-Fatiha is also As-Salah, because it is repeated in Salah in every rak'ah. In every unit of Salah, we repeat Surah Al-Fatiha. So this name of Surah Al-Fatiha is also As-Salah. I have divided As-Salah, which means Surah Al-Fatiha, into two parts. Between myself and my worshipper. When my worshipper says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, I respond by saying, my worshipper has praised me, Hamidani Abdi. Now this response comes, but we cannot hear it, it is there. This is why a lot of the Qurra and the reciters, when it comes to Surah Al-Fatiha, you find them pausing seven times in Surah Al-Fatiha, because of every response that comes. So you find them pausing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my worshipper has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Most gracious, most merciful. Most forgiving, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, Athna alayya abdi. A different type of praise. My worshipper has glorified me. A glorification. That is a different type of praise, declaring the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the second verse out of seven. The third one, Maliki yawmiddin, owner of the day of judgment. Do you know what Allah says when we say that? He says, Majjadani abdi. My worshipper has declared my majesty, subhanallah, declared my majesty, owner of the day of judgment. In that, we are already declaring that we believe there is a day in which we will all answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding our whatever we've done in this world. May Allah make that day easy for us. Then, those are three verses. We've heard the three responses. Then, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, Ya Allah. You alone we seek help from, Ya Allah. When we say that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. This verse is between myself and my worshipper. And now I will grant my worshipper whatever he asks for. And we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us, Ya Allah, to the straight path. This shows us that the biggest blessing we could ever have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guidance. We are so fortunate. The greatest gift I have and you have at this moment is the fact that we are mu'mineen. We are part of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to understand the ni'mah and the gift of Allah upon us and the favor upon us that we are chosen to be followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over and above that, to be rightly guided on the straight path, that is the gift of Allah. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us, Ya Allah, to the straight path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those whom you have favored. This is what we are saying. So if someone were to ask you, you have one dua. If someone were to ask you or to tell you have one dua, what is it you want to make? Wallahi, a true mu'min who understands the value of dua will say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. That is the most powerful dua. The path of those whom you have favored, not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor the path of those who have gone astray. That is the dua. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us primarily from those whom, whenever we read Surah Al-Fatiha, take your time, take it easy, read clearly, understand what Allah is responding when you are saying, and you will enjoy your salah. You will enjoy Surah Al-Fatiha. Take your time. Pause for a moment, a split moment. In salah, we don't pause for too long. But a split moment in order to understand what you've said. Wallahi, we have been reading salah in some cases for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But we don't even know the essence of Surah Al-Fatiha sometimes. And sometimes we don't even know what we are saying. And yet we have been reading salah for 60 years at times. May Allah accept that salah from us. It is our duty as Muslimin to not to be able to sleep until we know what we are saying in salah. Subhanallah. Salah is the key to the door of Jannah, according to some narration. If that is the case, how is it that we don't know what that key looks like by not being able to understand what we are saying? Yes, initially, obviously we may not understand. But how much effort have we made to try and comprehend what we are saying in salah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open those doors for us. Then obviously we all utter the words Ameen, either softly or loudly. But we all utter the words Ameen at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that from us. And the next surah, Allah has chosen Surah Al-Baqarah. The reason why it is named Surah Al-Baqarah is because in it there is a story of a certain cow. At the time of Musa alayhi salam, there was an incident that occurred, and that incident is mentioned in the Quran, how they questioned him what type of a cow to slaughter. When he answered, they asked him yet another question, what color is it? When he told them, they asked him yet another question and so on. Because of that, it is called Surah Al-Baqarah. It is just a name. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences it with powerful letters, known as hurufun muqatta'ah, separated letters. Alif Lam Mim. No one knows the meaning of that besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People might have suggested things and some things might have come through people's minds. No, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that Allah knows the meaning of that. Why he revealed it, only he knows. We might have a slight glimpse into one or two reasons, but we would not be able to know the meaning of it. It is only Allah. Istathara Allahu bihi fi ilmih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the knowledge of that for whatever reason he wants with him. But we do know the kuffar of Makkah, they did not want to listen to the verses of the Quran. So there are some of these type of verses where they were baffled for a moment, thinking a very eloquent man, though unlettered, is now speaking to us and saying words that we don't even understand. There must be meaning to it. So it drew their attention to listen to what came after that. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. There is no doubt in this book, the Quran. No doubt at all. Look at how the sequence of the verses, Allah in the opening verses immediately after Surah Al-Fatiha describes the value of the book and the fact that there is no doubt in this book that you are about to begin to read. Why is this verse right at the beginning? Because if you are doubting the book, what's the point of reading it? Subhanallah. When you now know that this is the value of the book, there is a clear guarantee from the creator of myself and yourselves that there is no doubt in the book. Now you can read the book. So if there is no doubt in the book, there will never ever be a discrepancy in the book, nor can there ever be any two verses that are contradicting each other in the book. Because if that is the case, then it would create doubt. So for those who think that there is contradiction, nay, this is an answer for them. And for those who want to create unnecessary contradictions or so-called contradictions which are not even there, and come and try and baffle the mind of the less knowledgeable, beware, Allah declares, there is no doubt in the book. And in it, there is guidance. But guidance for whom? Abu Jahl read part of the Quran. He knew some of the verses of the Quran. Abu Lahab knew some of the verses of the Quran. The kuffar of today, they know some of the verses of the Quran. Why is it that they don't achieve guidance from it? Because Allah says, in it there is guidance for a certain category of people. فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. There is guidance for those who are conscious of their Creator. Those who have consciousness in their heart, for them there will be guidance. Sometimes Muslimin, you read for them a verse of the Quran and say, brother, it's haram for you to do what you've just done. He says, look, bugger you, may Allah protect us. If that is the case, is he a person with taqwa? The answer is no, no taqwa. If a person has taqwa, the Quran will definitely make his hairs raise and he will surrender to it immediately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who can surrender to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he informs us, there is guidance for those who are conscious. Who are those who are conscious? Let's take a look at the sequence of the verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is amazing, he says, those who are conscious of Allah are those who are successful. Now, between the two verses, there is a description. We read, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are verses we read where Allah says, those are the ones who are rightly guided from their Rabb. Those are the ones who are the successful. Who is he describing? He is describing the ones who are conscious, muttaqeen. From muttaqeen, he takes it up, he mentions certain qualities, and thereafter he says, those are the successful. Do you want to know what is success? Here it is in the opening verses of the Quran. Because the kuffar at the time, they related success to monetary gain, to control, to power and so on. Allah says, the successful are those who are conscious of Allah. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. Subhanallah. Believing in the unseen. Believe in the angels, believe in the books and so on. And Allah continues. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. They establish their daily prayers. Believe me, salah is extremely important. I have been speaking on salah. The benefit, obviously, we ask Allah to grant myself benefit and yourselves. Salah is so powerful that any problem anybody has, salah is the key to the solution. Salah is the key to the solution. You start off with tawbah, asking Allah to forgive you. Get onto the same page as the Creator whom you want to ask and seek from. Because if you are on a different page, you are definitely a person who's calling out, but you don't even want to adopt the laws that the same supreme deity that you are calling out to is, subhanallah. You don't even want to obey the commands that he has placed on you, and you would like to call out to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek forgiveness, establish your salah. You find solution to all your problems. Believe me, if a person has a problem and they repent to Allah and begin to read salah with the undertaking that, Ya Allah, I will never miss a salah after this day. Never miss a single salah after this day. If 40 days pass, you start finding the solutions, subhanallah, one after the other. There is a narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, if a person reads his salah on time with takbiratul ihram, in salah with jama'ah, without missing it, 40 days lapse, he hasn't missed anything, his name will be eradicated from the hypocritical list. He will not be a hypocrite, inshallah, on condition that it's not only the undertaking to read for 40 days. No, the undertaking is never to miss a salah, but let the first 40 days pass. You will start finding the doors open one after the other. May Allah grant that to us. The next quality of the successful, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They spend from that which Allah has given them. Not only zakah, but even that which is above zakah. And I want to raise one point when it comes to zakah. Every act of worship we have, you find the sunnah and nafil is more than the farad. Let's take a look at salah. How many farad raka'at do we have? We know them. How many sunnah and nafil we have? Much more. So the farad is a little, the sunnah and nafil is more. Take a look at hajj. It is compulsory once a lifetime. Your sunnah and nafil, your umrah and so on is much more. You can make it as many times as you want. And I think a lot of us who have the means actually go for umrah so many times, mashallah. There are so many from amongst us who are already there now. So many who are about to go tomorrow and the following day. May Allah accept it from you and make it easy for you. Let us take a look, for example, at zakah. When it comes to zakah, what happens? In fact, before we get to zakah, look at fasting. 30 days compulsory. After that, you have 3 days a month, you have 2 days a week. It's much more in number than that which is compulsory, but it is sunnah and nafil. Zakah is one of the only acts of worship where we have turned it around. We make zakah, that which we give, and the lillah is almost nil, or almost very, very small. Why? Where have we gone? Why don't we learn from the other acts of worship to say your farad is so much, your sunnah and nafil must be much more if you want acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us generous, make us from those who can give. And let's learn from the example, as I've said, of fasting, of the example of hajj and umrah, as I've said, the example of salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. Then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Two qualities. Firstly, those who believe in the book revealed to you and the books revealed before you, which means in a nutshell, they believe in the heavenly revelation. We believe that Allah has created us and He has sent an instruction manual to us at any given time in order to instruct us how to lead our lives. If we believe in that book, and believing does not just mean to acknowledge. One is acknowledgement, one is to believe in it, to adopt it, to try and put it into practice. Then Allah says, those are the ones who are going to be successful. It's one of the qualities. Let's look at the last quality mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. They are convinced when it comes to the akhirah. Convinced completely. They know very well, they have yaqeen, conviction, that the akhirah is coming. The life after death is certain. We are going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, look at how powerful these verses are. Allah is describing the believers in the opening verses of the Quran. I have come across many non-Muslims whom, when they open the Quran and start reading Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah, they are already convinced by the time they get here to say, look at all this. Look at how powerful it is. How many of us have ever gone through the Quran from the beginning with its meaning, thinking about the sequence, and look at how powerful it is. Now, in order to make clear the other parties that are in existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes the disbelievers. After He mentions those who are successful and their qualities and what true believers are, who they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Definitely those who disbelieve. What about them? سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those who disbelieve. It is equal for them whether you warn them or you don't warn them, they will not believe. This verse proves the other verse that says that in the Quran there is guidance for those who have consciousness. If you don't have consciousness, even if the verses are recited to you, it's equivalent to them not being recited to you, because a person would never believe. So in order to receive mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guidance, we need to first develop the consciousness of our Allah within us, the consciousness of our Creator within us. Then we will be able to distinguish between right and wrong. The Quranic verses will have the desired impact on our lives only if we develop our taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us muttaqeen. This verse is also a warning to those who do not take heed when the Quranic verses or the shar'i rulings are made clear to them that it is possible that Allah may have written such people as the misguided, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. Allah says He has sealed three faculties. Their hearts completely sealed. Those who don't have taqwa, those who disbelieve, those who reject the verses, their hearts are sealed. Their ears are blocked. And they have a curtain, a barrier in front of them. They cannot see. It's blocking their vision as well. Yet they have eyes, they have ears, and they have physically the heart as well. But the use of that heart and those ears and those eyes, completely nil in terms of spirituality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hearts that can soften. Enough, enough sin we have committed. May Allah forgive us. Gone are the days when we leave our salah. May Allah make us from those who can establish our salah. This is a month of Ramadan. Look at the opening verses of the Quran. Allah is inviting us. Come to my mercy. Here we are. This is how you achieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come and enjoy the Quran. Beautiful recitation of the words of Allah. The beauty does not lie in the reciter's voice. It lies in the words of the Creator. Subhanallah. If only we realize and recognize the power of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an open invitation by your Creator telling you, come, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ نَادَى مُنَادٍ يَا بَاغِيَ الْخَيْرِ أَقْبِلْ وَيَا بَاغِيَ الشَّرِّ أَقْصِرْ. When Ramadan enters, a caller calls, O you who wants to do good, come forth. There is room for you here. We will multiply your good deeds so many fold. Subhanallah. That is an invitation from Allah. When the richest man in Durban gives you an invite to come to his wedding or to his house, how happily we go, mashallah. You know what? We will even take along some others. May Allah protect us and may He grant us understanding. It's not wrong to do that for as long as the person is decent and a good Muslim. But the comparison I want to draw, when Allah, my Creator and yours, is inviting you to be the best of all people, why don't we respond even 5%, 10%? Wallahi, it will be the beginning of the solution of all our problems. And Allah favors us by giving us old age. Some have already passed on. Only Allah knows the condition upon which they've passed on. May Allah grant them Jannah and Rahmah, mercy. But with us, we are still alive. It's not too late. May Allah forgive us and grant us a turning point. It is not difficult to establish your salah. Not difficult at all. It is not difficult for you to abstain from gossip, and for myself to abstain from bad mouthing. May Allah protect me and you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be from amongst those whose hearts are sealed. Don't be from amongst those whose eyes are blocked, whose ears are sealed. May Allah protect us all. Allah says, for them, there is a severe punishment, a great punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the third category of people that you can find. Those are the ones sitting on the fence. Neither are they believers, nor are they disbelievers. And amazingly, Allah mentions the qualities of the hypocrites in these verses. And may Allah protect myself and yourselves from such qualities. The idea of mentioning these verses is to protect ourselves and to be able to recognize others who may have these qualities, so we can save ourselves from their company and from their evil. May Allah protect us always. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. From amongst the people, there are those who say, we believe in Allah and the last day, but they are not believers. What does this mean? If people can do that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think people cannot do it to myself and yourselves? Say one thing on our faces and mean something else behind our backs? It's possible. But the worst is for us ourselves to do that with Allah and with others. How many of us claim to be Muslimin, but when the laws are made known to us, we find ourselves in another valley altogether. We take what suits us and we leave that which does not suit us. Why? If that is the case, and if we are guilty of that, it is time to change. This is the reason why Islam is the only religion that covers its heavenly book from cover to cover and makes it almost a duty for every single one of us, at least in the month of Ramadan, to cover it from one end to the other. Take a look at the Christians. They've got a Bible. Almost all of them have never ever read it cover to cover. You ask them, have you ever read the Bible cover to cover? 99.9% of them will say no. But ask the Muslim seated here, have you ever read the Quran cover to cover? 99.9% will say yes. Amazing. It's the only religion in the world where religiously we go page by page. Let us now try to understand and put it into practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors for us. This is why we have sessions of this nature, to try and explain to us, to try and explain to us the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This evening, inshallah, we will prolong it a little bit, but tomorrow, inshallah, we'll cut it down a little bit for those who really, you know, setting into the month of Ramadan. The idea is not to prolong, but to take a message or two home every day and to try and put it into our hearts. May Allah make me practice upon what I'm saying and yourselves as well. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now making mention of the qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now making mention of the qualities of the hypocrites. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They try to cheat or deceive Allah and those who believe, but they are only deceiving themselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that type of deception. I think there is an announcement, and this is actually an insult to the Taraweeh as well as to the session we have now. But sadly, without being disrespectful, we've got to mention that there is a white Toyota Corolla RKM 947 GP. We really feel that this person needs to move his vehicle. And inshallah, we won't look at you. We're closing our eyes for a moment. If you want to get up and walk out, no problem. We just want to rectify the problem. And GP means we are coming from outside. May Allah grant you a good reward, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enhance, bi'idhnillah, all our lives for the mere fact that we diverted for a few moments for a good reason. Just for a moment, so that we don't repeat this again, if we can all park our cars in such a way that we are conscious of the people whom we may be blocking. If you've blocked someone, please, you can leave early, put your car straight and come back, inshallah. We don't want you to leave from the goodness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really to grant us benefit of this month of Ramadan. That is the idea. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the hearts of those who are hypocrites.
فِي قُلُوبِهِم مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا.
In their hearts is a disease, and Allah increases that disease. They are sick. Allah says they are sick because they know that this is the word of Allah. They know they've been created, but they are hypocrites, claiming to believe, and yet they are not believers. There are two types of hypocrisy. One is, Allah protect us from that, where a person is not a Muslim, but lying that they are. Allah protect us from that. That is nifaqun. It is hypocrisy of belief. And then there is a different type of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in our deeds. And sometimes we are guilty of that. Where we are Muslims. We claim to be Muslims and we are. But when it comes to following, we find ourselves lacking and slacking. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all steadfastness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mentioning the qualities of the hypocrites,
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ.
When you tell them, don't spread corruption and sin on earth, don't spread vice on earth, they say, no, we are doing good. We are the good doers. Those are the bad ones. Look at them. We are doing good. This is why every one of us, let's check our deeds.
Are we making anyone else's lives difficult? Are we spreading corruption on earth? If we are, it is time to revisit our situation and to improve it, inshallah. Make others' lives easy. Allah will make your life easy. And this is in every sphere. Make others' lives easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your life easy. Another quality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when it is told to them to believe, like the people have believed, they say, no. Should we believe like those who are weak? Like those who have nothing? أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. Those who are ignorant from amongst us, those who are silly, or if I can use the word, stupid from amongst us, they've accepted this message. You want us to accept this message? This verse is in response to those at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said, if Bilal ibn Rabah, who was a slave, and Suhaib al-Rumi, who was a slave, and the others who were poor, are your followers, you expect us to also follow in the ranks? And Allah says, never, those are hypocrites. How dare they say that? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In today's world, it is in response for those who say, Islam is a good religion, but I don't want to accept it because the Muslims are bad people. Allah is saying, you need to gauge a religion by its scriptures and by the religion itself, not necessarily by the followers, because from amongst the followers, there will be those who are not exemplary. May Allah make us exemplary. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is a quality of the hypocrites, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. When they meet the believers, they pretend like they are with them. They tell the believers, yes, we are believers, we are with you. And when they go back to their shayateen, to their people, they say, no, don't worry, we're not with those people. We are actually with you, but we're making a joke, we're making a mockery. And Allah says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah will make a mockery of them. May Allah protect us all. From this, the lesson I would like to draw for myself and yourselves is that in life, sometimes we are double-faced. Sometimes shaitan makes us be hypocritical, where we go to a person, we're smiling and we're happy and we greet him and we pretend like he's our biggest buddy. And behind his back, we are swearing him and we are spreading rumor about him and we are stabbing him a million times. If that's the case, a warning for such qualities, we need to change that. We need to change it ASAP, as soon as possible. Because we must be straight up. A person, you've got a problem, you go up to them with respect, you utter the words, look brother, I've heard this, or this is the problem, and so on. Resolve it. Shaitan will be upset, but Allah will be pleased. But if we are going to continue spreading tale, and we are going to continue this hypocritical behavior, to say no, in front of him, sometimes you find people who are supposedly pious, and in front of them, mashallah, you find lovely greeting, and everybody smiling and hugging, and thereafter behind their backs, whoa, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. If that is the case, isn't it the same quality that Allah is describing here? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from that, and may He make us a community that is united, that is full of love and mahabbah, because that is what we need. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the first command of the Qur'an, it is placed so beautifully. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nasu, O people, u'budu rabbakum, worship your Rabb. Rabb is the one who created you, provides for you in supreme and total control. I normally say creator, nourisher, cherisher, provider, protector, curer, the one in complete control, that is the meaning of the term Rabb. Allah says, oh people, worship your Rabb. Who is your Rabb? So Allah now describes it. Look at how the Quran works. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you. Now if a person is not convinced by that, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and He created all those who passed before you. They're already gone. He created all of them. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, He, so that you can achieve taqwa. So if you want to achieve that taqwa which is spoken about in the opening verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the way to do it is to worship Allah, your Rabb, the one who made you, your creator. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter starts mentioning all the other things He created. Look at the sequence. beautiful sequence. If a person is still not convinced, Allah says, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا, the one who created the earth for you as a carpet, as a layer for you to walk on. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً, look at how he created the skies. Are you still not convinced? Allahu Akbar. Look at how Allah is really tying up one after the other in order to get to that point. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ, after mentioning a few of these creatures of His, He says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, don't ever worship anything together with Allah. Don't associate partners with Allah, no matter what. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Association of partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the major sin. Like we've just known about the major element of guidance, we now know the biggest sin is shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from that. Then Allah says, regarding this book, He mentioned that this book, there's no doubt in it. And after that He says, وَإِن كُنتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا, if you are doubting that which we have revealed to our slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ, bring forth one surah similar to it. And He says, وَدَعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ, bring all your partners, try and come up with one surah. If you're doubting the Quran, bring us one surah. All of you put together, come up with one surah. Then He says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, if you are not going to do that, and you will never be able to do that, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, so then you need to fear the fire. You need to fear the fire whose fuel will be men and stones, human beings and stones. Now here, the issue of Jahannam has just come about, where Allah is warning us to say, look, you don't want to follow the book, then you need to worry about the fire that is coming. Allah protect myself and yourselves. Look at the sequence and the order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging mankind. How we still don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. You know, when the fire is mentioned, what about the people who do good? When the fire is mentioned, those who do good start thinking, hey, what is there for us? Immediately Allah answers that. This is the sequence of the verses. So some people think that there is no connection between the verses of the Quran. No, there is always a connection. Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ, give good news to those who believe and do good deeds, that for them is Jannah, gardens. What type of gardens? It's not good enough to just say gardens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His divine wisdom, has never just said gardens. He always describes it. جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ, those gardens underneath which rivers are flowing, that you can actually see. Rivers of milk, rivers of honey, rivers of fruit juice, rivers of whatever you want, subhanallah. And as though it is glass, you can see it. And guess what? It belongs to you, subhanallah. You own it. Imagine you go to the beach in Durban and you're looking at it and you think to yourself, I own this. I don't think there's anyone from amongst us who actually would ever do that, because they would take us to hospital. But in Jannah, you will own it. It's your ownership. Allah is saying that's for you. On one hand, there's the fire that He spoke about first. Then He says, Jannatin tajri min tahti al-anhar. Then Allah says, in it, you will also have provisions. Don't worry. Why? Because in this dunya, there are some people who don't have much, and they continue bearing sabr. And Allah says, don't worry, in the akhirah, you will get, definitely. Lot of rozi, rizq, lot of sustenance, whatever you want. Allah says, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةِ الرِّزْقَ قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا. Allahu Akbar, the description of the fruit of Jannah. Allah says, every time they will be granted from the fruit of Jannah, as sustenance, and they will partake or eat from it, they will say that this is similar to what we have had in the past. In the past meaning, just a moment ago, in Jannah or in the dunya. Either. But Allah says, then it will be made looking similar, but it won't be the same. Mutashabihan. They will be a little bit confused with it. It will be similar. There will be similarities. So you see something possibly, we need to get there inshallah to actually see it, but you see something possibly looking like an orange, but when you eat it, it is according to your mazaj. It is according to your own liking, whatever you want. So you are eating an orange and you want it to taste like, I don't even know what to say, maybe your favorite burger, Allahu Akbar, but it looks like an orange, Allahu Akbar. That's just a description I've laid out. But this is the description of Jannah, even higher than what I've said, by far. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the fire, He mentions Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the examples. Allah is not ashamed of giving the example of a mosquito. Why does He say that? Because in the Quran, the verses to come, there are going to be so many examples. Don't ever belittle a verse of the Quran or an example in the Quran. It is always 100% valid and it fits 100%. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Amazing. And this is Allah's example in the beginning of the Quran. He says, I'm not ashamed to give an example of a mosquito. Now, if people are still not convinced, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention, look at the sequence and the order. He's already invited us to believe. May Allah grant us that belief. If a person is still not convinced, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says that when you were created, we want to inform you what happened even before you were there. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Before you were in existence, Allah says, we told the angels that we are going to create a viceroy on earth. Khalifa on earth. Imagine, so this is the beginning. Then Allah continues, and I'm not going to go into the details, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues how He created Adam alayhi salam, how shaitan transgressed and promised Allah that he will lead us astray or he will try his best with us. That is then mentioned in the order. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how shaitan succeeded in part of his plan. And then Allah says, Adam alayhi salam made tawbah. He turned to Allah and Allah forgave him. Imagine at the beginning of the Quran, Allah is telling us the story of Adam alayhi salam, how the first human being was created and what happened and how he was forgiven when he engaged in tawbah. And this is a green light for all of us. Hope, a light of hope for all of us to say, whenever we have erred, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will forgive myself and yourselves. He has seasons. He has places. When you enter Makkah, it's not like here in Durban. It's a blessed place. A moment Allah accepts you for having gone there. And when you are there, you seize the opportunity of turning to Him. The same applies. Outside Ramadan is not equivalent to Ramadan in spirituality. Laylatul Qadr is not equivalent to the other nights. It is higher, much higher in spirituality. Allah has given us this blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open those doors of mercy for all of us. May He forgive us and grant us goodness. The last few verses that I'd like to mention, the sequence of them, beautiful sequence, after making mention of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about Banu Israel. Why Banu Israel? Because these verses were revealed in Medina Munawwara, where they were Jewish people. They were people of the book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, without having met any of your people, will relate to you the details of the stories of Moses, may peace be upon him, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the story of that cow that we spoke about, and the other stories all mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them so that the Jewish people can see, and the Christians and the others, that this is actually confirming what is with us. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them back to Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is also mentioned here. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Qibla and the mention of the direction that we face. It is important we realize we don't worship the Kaaba. We only use it as direction. We respect it and revere it to the highest we can, but we don't worship it. A lot of non-Muslims intentionally spread misinformation that the Muslims are all worshipping one big idol, and that is the black box in Mecca. Allah protect us. Na'udhu billah. That is wrong. Misinformation actually. We do not worship the box, but it is in order to create direction that is mentioned in the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about sabr. And He makes mention of how important it is for us to engage in sabr, to seek assistance through salah and sabr. And obviously sabr is a topic on its own. Inshallah, one of the nights it should come up. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that to us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of His mercy for us. Then Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُوا مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. Allah says, when it is told to them, here speaking of the kuffar of Mecca, the kuffar of Quraysh, when it is told to them, follow what is revealed by Allah, they say, nay, we are following what we found our forefathers doing. Allah says, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Did they not find their forefathers not understanding anything, and they were not rightly guided? My dearest listeners, this verse is a lesson for all of us. Though it was revealed for the people of Mecca and the Quraysh at the time, whenever we have found misguidance within what we know, we need to rectify it. We cannot justify our misdeeds by saying our forefathers used to do this. You find the ulama, mashallah, in our midst, make use of them. Ask them, what I'm doing, is it right? Like for example, a person who found his forefathers starting salah by putting the heads hands right above the heads. And they start salah, Allahu Akbar. Now, generations down, if we try to correct them, they say, no, I found my father doing that, I'm going to do that. But now you show them that, look, this is wrong. The ulama are all saying it's wrong. If they reject it, this is the type of warning Allah has presented. Allah is saying, don't do that. When you are corrected by those whom you trust and you know, take the correction. Don't be arrogant. This is a sickness that a lot of people face. May Allah protect myself and yourselves from it. When we are wrong and just out of pride, we don't want to admit that we are wrong. Why? We have family feuds because of that. We have communities that break down because of that. And we have so many issues because of that. Let us always surrender to correction where it is on merit better than what we are doing. Or correct. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us rectification. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open all our doors. Inshallah, as I've said this evening, mashallah, we've prolonged. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll cut it down a little bit. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, really from today, to grant us the blessings of this month, to make us from those who can stand in Taraweeh imanan wa ihtisaban, with full iman, expecting a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding that it is the word of Allah we are listening to. And may Allah grant us the ability to fast with ease. Remember your suhoor in the morning, it is just a blessing. The lighter your suhoor, the less you will feel your fast. The more you want to eat early in the morning, the more hungry your belly will be as you pass through the day. That is just a point of benefit from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to have a very light suhoor for purposes of barakah. So many times it was just a bit of water with a date, sometimes no even date. Little bit of water, and he used to continue through the day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. I seek Allah's forgiveness, and I ask you all to make dua for myself and yourselves and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we are speaking, there are people being bombarded. As we are speaking, there are people suffering. As we are speaking, there are people who don't have places to go, yet they are in the close proximity of their homes, which are now blown up. As we are speaking, there are people who don't have lights and water in Gaza, in a place which is so hot at this moment. We are sitting luxuriously. Do we thank Allah? Do we make dua for those who don't have? Or do we just sit in luxury and forget everybody else? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us thankful and grateful. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to remember the needy and the weak and make dua for them. Until we meet again. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.